This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 10th of October, 2022, and we certainly closed in an ugly mood on Friday with equities not liking strong U.S. data. The jobs report there was quite solid, especially that unemployment rate dropping to 3.5% back at that modern record low. That in part on the household survey, so the BLS survey is showing a small drop in the participation rate, which means that even a bit of payrolls growth hits the unemployment rate a bit more. And the NFP payroll change, that was at plus 263, right around what was expected. And actually, just as expected and very in line on the average hourly earnings at 0.3% month on month and 5.0% year on year. That last, I think, was the slowest since December. But yields higher, and this spooked risk sentiment further. So we had quite an interesting week last week. If you look at slide two, or pull up your S&P 500 chart, and the more interest rate sensitive NASDAQ 100 had a worse week. But we saw that prior Friday closing on the new lows of the cycle, or new cycle low close. And we pumped intra week. We had quite a nice pump, 5-6%, and then most of that erased by the end of the day Friday. And we're starting off the week in a bit of a sour mood as well. And you can see on our equity theme baskets that those sort of usual suspects on the high beta side having a really ugly time of it: bubble stocks, next gen medicine, etc. So that sort of makes more sense relative to what we were noting at times last week when some of these sectors were underperforming on the rally. So that was quite interesting. And then just wanted to add, in the wake of this, we have the two-year rate back right at the cycle highs, you know, suggests with this strong labor data that the Fed is going to be in no hurry to change its tune. 4.34% near the cycle high on the two-year, and the 10-year back closer to 4%, although we're still somewhat below. And that has been the cycle high approximately, although that was posted during that crazy chaotic handful of days there with the UK gilt market in meltdown mode. But just need to point out that the Fed, so the QT is proceeding a bit more a pace than it has been previously. And on slide three, I show two things. So the blue line is the overall Fed balance sheet, and it dropped a total of $37 billion last week. I think that's the largest single week drop we've seen. It may have had to do with certain treasuries rolling off, but regardless, that's a very hefty pace of quantitative tightening. And just to note on the black line there is the mortgage-backed security holdings. And the prior week, it actually finally showed its first real drop below the range for the cycle. So they're apparently also managing to unload some of these MBS as well. So that's going to be an interesting pressure point for global liquidity, for the dollar, for U.S. yields, all of the above. And in your space, certainly not helping a sentiment either, was this OPEC Plus meeting last week. And we noted it a bit, and I have mentioned it a couple times on the podcast, but just a really interesting geopolitical seismic shifts to my mind when you see the Saudi side coming with this and really helping to support, it looked like, this big production cut. Looking at the old U.S.-Saudi sort of semi-alliance that most of the time over the last many decades, this is just a really big, interesting geopolitical development. But you were actually in the Middle East. You were in Dubai for most of last week. What's your take on this whole situation and specifically, of course, just the oil market?
Well, first of all, John, that we view this cut differently, depending on where we're sitting around the world. The focus in the Middle East was clearly on the worry about the demand coming down, and OPEC having to face a slump in the prices they've seen in the past. But it rings a little bit hollow, and my initial thought was based, this was good for Russia and bad for the global consumer, and it's bad also in the sense that the higher oil prices at this point, where we know that central banks are really in feisty mood to fight and battle inflation by hiking rates, it's sending the wrong signal, and the risk of that is really that it prolongs the pain from this hike cycle that we are currently into, so not helpful on that front. And also the OPEC having the ability to at short notice to cut production if it really is necessary. So it seems like to a certain point slightly political motivated. And where has it left the market? Well, first of all, we saw this 15+% jump in crude oil prices last week. But what is really, I think, more important is looking at slide five, is the impact it has on the fuel market, because that's really where the where we will see the impact. Because one thing, we cannot put oil into our tank; we need to put in refined products. And refinery margins spiked last week, especially for diesel. And that come it comes at a time where we know that inventory levels already in the US are at seasonal very low levels, heading into the winter period, and that will leave this market potentially leave this market tight and prices high into the winter. So again, inflation is one thing, is oil crude is up 15, but when we have diesel up 25% on the week, that is obviously not good for the input prices and for inflation. So just a bit worried that this was a premature cut. They could easily have waiting for the impact of Russian sanctions to set in kick in. But it just also shows that frustration with the intervention in the market through embargoes, US selling strategic reserves. Basically, that they are not having the same, at least trying to regain some of the control that they feel that they have, considering being such a major supplier of crude oil to the global market.
Yeah, and then we see as well that that price level going up is even more painful for the global economy when the dollar is strong, which obviously it was when you have a situation like you saw on Friday with weak risk sentiment on U.S. yields rising, and that's the worst combination for precious metals. Now we're still sitting, reasonably higher than we were off of those lows, and especially in the likes of gold when it was down at what 1615, I think, was it where it rallied from, but this was a disappointment for gold. So we need to find some support here to argue that we've seen reversal here.
Exactly, John. We are talking about, we believe that we are into the final stretch of this peak hawkishness that we are that has been delivered by especially by the US Fed, and it's critical to understand as well this the Fed is still hiking into strength, as we saw with the job report on Friday, whereas the rest of the world is primarily hiking into weakness, simply hiking because the inflation is getting even worse by the dollar strength. And so it's kind of stuck in this hamster wheel, and we need to reach when we reach peak hawkishness, and we potentially see softness in the dollar and softness in yields, then we will see. I'm pretty certain we well, we can't. Nothing ever certain, but that is potentially laying the foundation for a recovery. But the one we've seen so far, and the one last week, bouncing off a very critical support level, the 50% retracement of the seller or the rally we had between 2018 and 22. That rally last week across the metal space was first and foremost driven by short covering, and we can see that in the cut report, which will be posted a little bit later today. Otherwise, you can see some more details on my Twitter feed, but just look at the small table there on the right hand corner on slide six. The change in gold last week was from a near 4-year high short position to a small long, and you can see the change is primarily driven by short covering. So the shorts got a took a beating last week, and whether they are whether in feisty enough mood to return straight to the sell side, that remains to be seen. So let's see. We need to hold that 18, I'll say that 1880 level, which we're getting pretty close to, at least for now.
Quite a positioning turnaround there, and I guess it's partly reflected on the chart action. Very interesting. Okay, let's have a look at the FX space. As mentioned, the dollar much stronger, and it's claiming its first new victim in terms of new cycle highs or lows in that currency versus the dollar. When you look at the Aussie, the most recent RBA was quite dovish. So it makes some sense to see Aussie dollar also with the pro-cyclicality of the Aussie and the weak risk sentiment. We're seeing Aussie dollar to new lows for the cycle, below the prior mark that was just above 63.50. We're seeing that this morning. Still some wood to chop in the likes of Eurodollar and especially cable, because there was that tremendous spike that was in part associated with a huge, again, meltdown in the UK gilt market. There were some further measures, by the way, this morning. The Bank of England was announcing to bring more liquidity to the market. The situation is far from fully stabilized there. And politically, things are as volatile as ever, as Prime Minister Truss is dealing with this ongoing risk of a rebellion within her own ranks and just trying to establish authority in what is still a very, very young government. So, keep track of the headlines day to day and even hour to hour for that situation. As well, we have after this bridge attack, so the new bridge that was a pet project of Putin to connect Russian mainland territory directly with Crimea, which is otherwise through a narrow peninsula to Ukrainian territory. That bridge bombing, as I'm sure many of you know, partially taking out the bridge. And there have been some reprisals in a Security Council meeting in Russia, and reprisals this morning, some missile attacks. I even saw some Twitter headlines suggesting that Zelensky's office had been hit. Nothing about him personally, but we have to watch out for the risk of escalation there, especially as the war has been tending in Ukraine's favor, new desperate measures from the Russian side, etc. There is a lot of military activity around Zaporizhia, both the town, but especially the nuclear plant is in focus. Power at times being cut to that plant, which means they have to go on backup diesel generators. And I don't know how much time those have, but of course we have to watch out for the risks of something related to that. Don't want to imagine what that would entail in terms of meltdown, etc. But yeah, I think the focus this week definitely going to be in terms of the U.S. dollar. We have the FOMC minutes Wednesday. I think the Fed has been so consistent with its message that it's more about the CPI data point Thursday and perhaps retail sales on Friday, which have been sort of tending and trending lower when you look at the core retail sales data, as that non-inflation adjusted data is growing at increasingly low levels month on month. So that's the focus there. Before I get to the calendar, though, and a couple of words on equities, Peter will be back tomorrow, we hope. I want you to round out the commodity space with a look at wheat. Not as much volatility as I would have expected, given what's going on here, the latest news in the Ukraine-Russia war here.
No, exactly, John, but it still raises the risk of supplies out of Ukraine, and that's why we are trading almost up 4% in Chicago at this point. Wait and see where Europe opens a bit later. But it is a worry that this Ukraine grain corridor deal that is due for renegotiation next month, and that's with the latest developments potentially putting that at risk, with Russia potentially putting in some obstacles against a continuation of the deal. We haven't got the export numbers from Ukraine yet for September, but as you can see on the insert down slide 7, we are trailing quite significantly previous year's export levels, and that is raising these concerns about supply of high protein wheat into the global market. So that's the reason why we've been in an uptrend since mid-August, and that uptrend was just tested to the downside last week, but now we are back above that $9 level. So keep an eye on developments in Ukraine for further price movements in wheat prices.
Yeah. So we have this U.S. data coming up. U.S. yields are so critical for sentiment across the board. But as well, we have to keep in mind that Q3 earnings season kicking off later this week, as we previewed on Friday's podcast with the big U.S. financials reporting starting on Friday. The only thing I pulled out today on slide 8, you can see that list of companies reporting this week, was the Walgreens Boots Alliance. It's just interesting to see this stock trading at 10-year lows ahead of its earnings report on Thursday. And then as we go to the macro calendar, so today is one of those U.S. bank holidays where the sort of banks are closed and the cash treasury market is closed, but the equity market is open. So we may not see strong signals from yields in today, but in particular, I previewed those key U.S. data points that are coming up this week. The most important will be that September CPI print on Thursday. We have some Fed speakers today. Vice Chair Brainard is the most prominent of those later today. Again, not expecting surprises. They've been very consistent. And one of our themes of late has been, as we get to this peak tightness or peak hawkishness from the Fed, looking at the U.S. yield, especially that 2-year at well above 4% now, there's value in bonds. They have a coupon that is pretty decent now, offsetting certainly the price risk to a considerable degree for these for the shorter end of the yield curve. So just wondering if we're, how close we are, but we do think we're getting close to peak hawkishness, peak the market pricing in where the Fed is going to peak out here in the coming weeks, certainly in the coming quarter. But otherwise, you can see the bits and pieces there on slide 9 that are up this week. We have some Australian survey and household spending data up tonight. Could be interesting given where Aussie is trading there at those lows for the cycle. Also interesting on FX, and I didn't mention this, was the dollar yen has been trading above that 145 level, and quite reasonably so. That was where the Bank of Japan, Ministry of Finance were in intervening previously, with sort of radio silence so far from them, but the pressure is on with these high yields for something to happen there. So that could introduce significant volatility across the FX space at minimum. But as well, we have the dollar China situation. I was a bit surprised that we didn't see more volatility on the open after China was back from its week-long holiday last week, that we didn't see a bit more overnight from the dollar renminbi rate, given what the dollar has been doing of late. But keep all this on your radar. It's a very interesting week ahead, basically on all fronts. And yeah, we'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.